Dr. Medman, you're on mute.
I was practicing.
Right now?
I was practicing. It's 1 o'clock, and the Arizona Board for Private Postsecondary Education is in session, reconvening. Our next school for initial application for licensure is Alliant International University. Dr. Leck, you are the lead.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me better now?
Yes. Much.
Much better. Okay, so if you saw my setup, I am literally calling from my work phone. I have video on my cell phone with muted, and I've got three screens of material. So this is very intricate situation over here. So thank you very much, Dr. Mittman. I would like to welcome Alliant International University. Is there someone from the institution that would like to make an opening statement?
Yes, thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. Very nice to meet you all via this platform. My name is Dr. Tracy Heller. I am the Provost and Senior Vice President for Alliant. I'm going to be fairly brief in my remarks, introducing us a bit to you, and then we have several members of our team here who could be available to respond to or address any questions. Alliant is a regionally accredited institution by WASC. Alliant was formed through the merger of two legacy institutions, United States International University, founded as Balboa College about 95 years ago, and the California School of Professional Psychology, founded actually by the Psychological Association in California in an effort to meet unmet mental health needs of underserved communities, and that was about 53 years ago. Alliant is a predominantly graduate training, and we are organized around six schools: our School of Psychology, Education, Leadership and Management, Forensics, Law, and our newly founded School of Health Sciences, which brings us here today. Our expertise or niche is in training professional practitioners in high need fields and areas, often where there is a shortage, such as the mental health crisis and teacher shortage, and also where clinical training or field practicum is a required part of training, and where licensure or credentialing is a gateway to the profession. And so for us, nursing was really a mission-aligned extension of our expertise in an area where there is a high need and predicted shortages, where there is an element of clinical and field training, and where there is a gateway through licensure to the profession, and where you're training professional practitioners to serve diverse communities. And so we founded our School of Health Sciences, and I am thrilled actually to be joined here by our founding dean, Dr. Cherie Palmieri, and I believe you gained her information. And when we looked at where we were looking to launch, Arizona for us served as an area that was having a growing population, and in some areas an aging population, with predicted nursing shortages. So we sought Arizona to be our first home of launching our nursing program. As part of our application, we have identified a location in Arizona and have already completed our lease. And it is an interesting location in that Creighton University is also there. So we are beginning dialogues about how there might be synergies or opportunities to collaborate. Obviously, we found our founding nursing dean and are beginning the process of looking towards our proposal to the Arizona Board of Education. Along with WASC regional accreditation in the areas or disciplines where we train, we also always seek specialty accreditation. So not to throw a bunch of initials at you, but APA, COAMP, CTC, KCREP. So we will seek CCNE accreditation with our nursing program as well, which is consistent with our model. And so I'm going to actually stop there. I'm going to say that I have our CFO, Christoph Winter, our director, our chief of compliance, Afshin Afrukte, our dean, Cherie, and our Chief Operations Officer, Amy Kwiatkowski, with me today. And so hopefully among that team, we will be able to answer any questions that you might have for us.
Well, thank you all for wanting to be here. You actually have answered a few of my questions, so that was very helpful. Thank you very much. So now I understand what brings you to Arizona. Just to make sure that I'm completely clear, you haven't ever offered a BSN then before. This is your very first time offering this program.
That is correct. So we are in the process stage. WASC, as our accreditor, actually has this determination whether they see something as a substantive change or whether they see it as a staff review. And because of our expertise in disciplines that require field and practical training and also licensure, they have determined this to be a staff review. So this is our first entree into building a portfolio in health sciences.
Okay, for that clarification. As I also understand it from your materials, you have to get Arizona private post-secondary approval prior to applying to the Board of Nursing. Have you had any discussions with them yet? Have you gone before the Education Committee? Any of those activities occurred?
You were going a little bit in and out. Was the question about whether we already have had contact with the Arizona Board of Nursing?
Yes.
Wonderful. All right, yes. I am going to let Dr. Sheree Palmieri start to answer that question. Sheree, please.
Yes, and thank you, Dr. Ellidge. Yes, I've spoken with Dr. Rabe on board staff for the Education Committee and the liaison for new nursing programs. So we spoke, and we will be submitting our application materials for a proposal application next Friday for review, hopefully at their June Education Committee meeting, and then it will go forward with a recommendation from the Education Committee to the full Board of Nursing in July.
Okay, got it. And then one of my observations would be that what you submitted to Arizona Private Post-Secondary may not be the final program approved by the Board of Nursing as you go through that process, right? So then you'd have to come back here and just update your program with the board staff. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So just Kevin, FYI. I read through, you have a lot of documents, so thank you, very thorough submission. I read through the market analysis, which I thought was somewhat interesting because just for your information, some of the data in there I don't think is actually 100% accurate. Some of the institutions, it appears that however it is that data is pulled, is not actually regarding pre-licensure students per se versus students who are, say, completing an RN to BSN. So just so you're aware, those numbers are probably not 100%. They're inflated a little bit based on that. And so it calls into question, like when you see that list of all the providers as far as, nursing becoming a very competitive situation in Arizona for the same reasons that you guys wanted to come here. And what that leads to is a lot of challenges regarding clinical availability, right? And so I also noticed that you put the partners in your materials, and those partners being, most of the healthcare providers. But those providers already have so many partnerships with all the other, programs in the state and obviously new ones that are coming consistently, it seems. So my question for you is, do you have any signed agreements with any partners, or you're coming hoping that you'll be able to make said partnerships after getting here?
Go ahead,
Sheree. Yes, thank you for the question. I have met with a collaborative consortium already. We will be joining the consortium, but I do understand the concern with clinical partners. I am very involved in the nursing associations in the state, and I'm hoping through those relationships, and Alliant has a commitment with our development team to promoting those partnerships. I serve on the Arizona Nursing Association Central Arizona Chapter as the vice president, so I have a lot of contacts with clinical partners from that service. I also serve on the Arizona Board of Directors for the Arizona Organization of Nurse Leaders, and I serve on the Arizona Board of Nursing Scope and Practice Committee. And so we're hoping through both our relationships by joining the consortium and our involvement in the community that we will be able to be successful in securing placements. We do understand the challenge. One of our thoughts for addressing that is, I listened in on the Arizona Board of Nursing Education Committee. The recommendation is for placements in evenings and weekends, that there's more availability for students. And so that would be part of our communication with our students if we're approved, that we will be seeking clinical placements in evenings and weekends, because we do know it is competitive for clinical placements.
So how many students are you trying to admit specifically program, not the master's one?
For the BSN, for the first cohort would be 25 students.
25 students. Is that per semester or is that per academic?
We're looking for a start in 2023, and our thoughts were for the fall of 2023, one cohort for the BSN, one cohort for the direct entry master's. And then for 2024, increase that to two starts or two cohorts. And then, with success with that, possibly in 2025, move up to three cohorts. We'll be on a tri-semester, 3 15-week semester calendars.
Got it. Okay. I have one more overall question, and then I have questions that are for the BSN, for the master's, for the catalog, separate like categories. And this specific one, Kevin, I think is for board staff. In the executive board report, it said that a facilities inspection is not required, but there was additional language after that that made me believe that it wasn't specifically for Alliant. It might have been a cross-pollination. So do they need a facilities inspection or no?
They, Dr. Leck and members of the board, as an accredited institution, it is not a statutory requirement that they get an inspection. We would certainly appreciate being invited when the facility is up and running. We would love to come by and take a look at it, but it is not a requirement for licensure.
Well, I will say that we would be happy to have, and it seems like you have that relationship with the schools under your purview. We would be happy to have you. We are excited about the lab spaces that we are building out and about the campus itself and the resources around it. So we would be happy to have that invitation.
Okay, there you go, Kevin. It's a date. Okay, so I have some questions around the Bachelor of Science in Nursing specifically. When you admit students to that program, and you're talking about 20 students, a couple of questions, unless they are all zero credit students and they have no transfer credit, they're going to be all over the place, right? And so how are you anticipating managing that with 20 students who have varying numbers of credits to complete?
Sheree, anything you want to kick back to me, do, but go right ahead.
Yeah. So for the BSN program, the first three semesters, it consists, there's 47 general education credits in the program. So to your point, a lot of them, Dr. Letcher, will be coming in with a lot of transfer credit, and that is allowed. And so the program is a hybrid, but the nursing courses are in person. And so both the didactic, the labs, the clinical is in person. Several of the gen eds will be offered online for the nursing students.
So people with transfer credit will take a lighter load, potentially?
Yes.
Well, and perhaps not. I mean, as a title for eligible institution, the ability for students to be able to fund their education is critically important. And so a lighter load is a possibility, but if a lighter load would disadvantage the students, then for us, our investment in this program, we would be able to offer low enrolled courses as we build in our maturity to ensure that students are progressing in a timely way, they're making satisfactory progress towards their degree. And so it could go both ways, right? If a student maintains their eligibility for aid and they are able to lighten their load and progress towards completion, that is one alternative. If students need courses to take, we would ensure that those courses were available.
Okay, so let me ask you this. When a student starts, the 20 students, are they immediately starting in nursing courses and you're kind of building the GEs up and around it through, say, distance ed? Or are the GEs built into the semester?
Sheree, do you want to talk a little bit about the standard curriculum plan?
Sure. The general education courses are infused throughout the program, so they're across 100, 200, 300 level courses. But the majority are foundational to provide the strong science background, communication, composition, math, et cetera, for drug dose calculations, et cetera. So there is strong gen ed requirements in the first few semesters. But there are some, there's nutrition, there's health assessment. So some of those courses are infused in some of those beginning semesters as well.
Okay, so where I guess I'm just trying to get to is, like, if a student already has 40 credits, regardless of whether you offer low enrolled or not, they're going to be way ahead of the other group. So what are they going to do, sit out or take a lower load? You know what I'm saying? Because you're not, unless you're doing, at least in my experience, there's a lot of prereqs that go into a BSN. In fact, we don't, in my experience, you don't even get into nursing courses unless you meet the prereq requirements. And that has a lot, the math and the Englishes and the sciences and stuff that you have to have. So are you saying yours is mixed so you don't have those types of prereqs or a secondary admittance?
We're not set up with a pre-nursing and then an entrance into the professional program. It is integrated throughout. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that is. And one of the reasons I'm trying to get to is when I looked at your catalog, I believe it said that a 2.0 GPA was the admissions GPA. Is that correct?
The minimum.
Yeah. So what this leading to is, I'm not sure if you guys listened to the call earlier today, but in my experience, a 2.0 student is probably going to be pretty challenged with those science courses, and the science courses are generally indicators of ability to pass said nursing courses and thus then pass the NCLEX test. And so that to me kind of is a little bit of a red flag, that super low. And now understanding that this is your first program in nursing, that just worries me a little bit, because either you're going to end up in the same situation where your NCLEX scores aren't high enough, or you're going to have to shore up a lot of, potentially a lot of students who have a 2.0 GPA.
Yes, and I think the rationale for putting the 2.0, and I do agree with you on what you're saying about the GPA and their success, especially with the new NCLEX, the next generation NCLEX, which is really focused on the clinical judgment model. One of the things is in our mission and philosophy is to be inclusive. So we want to have a holistic admission process that includes an essay. The HESI score is 80, so the HESI score is high. So students maybe struggled in high school and then come back to college several years later and they're in a different place. It gives the school room to look at them holistically, which is consistent with our strategic mission and vision. But again, that's the minimum. We are going to be looking to ensure that they can be successful, which can be either demonstrated through their essay, their HESI scores, et cetera. Again, we're looking at this from having a holistic admission process to encourage that inclusivity. And Dr. Heller, do you have anything to comment on that?
I just want to say that I appreciate the question deeply. And what is critical is ensuring that we are entering students that have the capacity to be successful, and that any student that is qualified is going to be able to be set up to be able to pass the NCLEX and to be able to join the profession. And so one of, you know, our, and as Sheree mentioned, with our desire to reduce barriers to professions, especially those that may have come from more disadvantaged earlier educational experiences, I think that there is wisdom in saying, you know, do we even in those, you know, initial years increase a GPA requirement until we assess the scaffolding that we have in place? And the goal is to be able to have that scaffolding in place to ensure success with a lot of the pre-testing and being able to look at other indicators that can ensure that we're not entering a student in the program that doesn't have full capability to end up being able to pass the NCLEX.
Yeah, and I get what you guys are saying about the, you know, used to the mission of, you know, getting, not, you know, not being competitive admissions. And it, as an institution, I just want to caution you. I'm been doing this a long time, and I think there's still some foundational issues that institutions run into, programs run into specifically around this.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not assessing, you know, I know you're assessing the sciences through the HESI. But as far as research that I'm aware of, you know, their ability to produce those sciences and those maths, you know, in those prereqs before the nursing is a real indicator. And it would just, I just want to caution you because, you know, maybe you guys can pull it off or whatnot, but the situation that that other school is in is not good. And I know at least their GPA for entrance to the secondary, I believe, is a lot higher. So,
yeah. I will say I take that and I'm making a decision right on the call, but I will say I take what you're saying to heart, and especially as we, and certainly Sheree is not entering a new profession. She has been an educator in nursing for a long time, but as we have a new program and again, assess the structure and the scaffolding, the notion of a higher entry, and a I don't want to say more selective program, we'll use this language, a program where we have multiple points already of evidence that suggest high success, including GPA. And so, you know, without being able to, you know, go with read the notion of a higher a GPA for our initial onset and launch, I think is a prudent comment. And both reputationally, you know, for us as an institution, and realizing the prior issues that you are facing, it is not where we want to land ourselves. And so it is not open admissions to the point that we have, you know, any evidence of not being able to achieve the standards.
And I assume the Board of Nursing is going to make the same comment. So I can't imagine I'm going to be the one that's the only one that's saying it. So, I mean, that's their bag. I just wanted to caution you based on experience and the things that we see here. So, I think that has to do with
heart, and I am influenced. So I am aligning with what you are saying.
Okay. Yes, Dr. Lech, I appreciate the feedback too. because the experience is important and we do want our students to succeed and be successful. So I appreciate that feedback.
Yep, and I think we all want someone to care for us when we're old. So, you know, I definitely want someone who knows what they're doing if I end up in a hospital somewhere. So there's that. And I think so it goes back to that math class. So when I was reading your math description, you know, it kind of seemed like a little bit low on the math side of, you know, specifically when it's looking at, you know, nurses and having to do, I see the measurements are in there as far as dosages are concerned and stuff, but you know, that I think is one of the critical skills that a lot of students struggle with. So I just noted that to me that the math might, you know, a math concepts class might for college seem a little bit low for this particular profession, but that's up to you guys to you know, decide and whether or not the nursing board will have anything thoughts about it too. So okay, well let's move on to the master's questions, if you will. So one of the way that it looks like your program is structured somewhat appears to me to almost mimic a IR, institutional recommendation program in education at the master's level, right? They're bringing in a lot of experience. And so your master's requires you to, that one requires you to have a bachelor's degree in another field, right?
Correct.
But the part about it that I don't understand is even in that case, there's a differentiation between bachelor's level courses and graduate level courses. And even if I have a bachelor's degree, it's not in nursing and it's not necessarily in, you know, I could have it in poetry, if you will, right? So I'm not even going to have these sciences. And so the part I'm struggling with is how are you guys saying that the courses that are at the undergraduate level for everywhere else across the country is now being taught at a graduate level when it's the foundational knowledge that no matter what you do, it have to be at the 100, 200, 300, 400 level, right? It's not master's level content because they don't know the foundations of sciences necessarily. Do you know what I'm saying? Like when you talk about Bloom's taxonomy and the structure, what is a bachelor's degree supposed to do? What is a master's degree supposed to do? What's a doctorate, right? The classes that you need as a foundation to go into a master's program are undergraduate. So I don't understand how that's being offered at the graduate level. Does that make sense?
Yes, and Dr. Lynch, the direct entry master's program has prerequisite science courses. So they're not included in the program. So those are the anatomy and physiology, microbiology, statistics, and child growth and development. So those are all prerequisites to the program. Then the pre-licensure content is that, you know, the equivalent to it's a pre-licensure program. The graduate level on the Bloom's taxonomy is in those nursing leadership courses that scaffold across. And I know even pre-licensure BSN programs have nursing leadership into it, but this goes beyond that. So the programs from alignment, from, you know, we're going to be applying for a Commissioner Collegiate Nurse for Nursing Education accreditation. The programs are aligned with the new essentials for the American Association for Colleges of Nursing, QSEN, and also for the direct entry masters is also aligned with the nurse manager competencies, not the nurse executive, but the nurse manager's American Organization of Nurse Leader competencies. So that's where you see the taxonomy as at that higher level on Bloom's.
See, and I get it when it comes to like, you know, organizational system leadership course, like those ones. What I don't get is OB and PEDS. OB and PEDS isn't at a graduate level. OB and PEDS is still going to be at the pre-licensure undergraduate level. I don't know how do you teach that at a master's level when it's everywhere else as an undergraduate because it's OB and PEDS, it's the foundation of being a nurse.
It Excuse me for one sec. Let me just interrupt for a second. This is Paul Mittman. I have an obligation for the next hour. And my apologies, I cannot get out of it. So I'm going to turn the chairmanship over to Mr. Romano, and I'll see you guys back when I'm finished. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mittman. Please continue, Dr. Lack.
Yes, and so okay. Dr. Lynch, can you clarify your question? Because Creighton also has a direct entry master's. I'm trying to understand the question on the baccalaureate level courses versus the direct entry master's that both prepare for pre-licensure. It's a pathway.
Yeah, that's where I'm confused because most BSNs, right, or even if they're becoming an RN, they're taking the OBMP, right, at the undergraduate licensing level, right, where a master's is about advanced. It could be about advanced practice or it could be nursing ed, you know, it's the advanced part. So the part that I'm curious about is how is your OBMP, which everywhere else is at an undergraduate level in order to get initial license as a RN at a grad level where everywhere else it's at the undergrad level. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And most MSN programs are 36 academic credits.
Yeah.
Our program is 84. So it incorporates and integrates both those pre-licensure components and the master's at the master's taxonomy at that higher level through that program.
And that's the part I'm having a hard time with. If it was a mix of undergraduate and graduate courses, that part I would get, right? Because it's appropriately leveled at the undergrad level where OBMPs normally sit. So I don't know that we'll solve it here. It's more of a observation for me. I've never seen that. I don't, my mind doesn't understand that where you can teach that at a higher level when you're still learning the same exact OBMPs, you know, that you go into a hospital and if you want to work in OBMPs, you know what I mean? It's that same thing or critical care, right? You're not teaching a higher level of critical care because they don't have regular critical care yet. So just something to think about. And the board, you know, obviously the Board of Nursing will, look at that or whatever differently. Maybe that's great. I don't know. It's just not what I'm used to as far as scaling curriculum. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I think, go ahead, Dr. Hall.
And Sheree, if I say this wrong for nursing, please stop me, right? I'm going to talk in the field that I am more knowledgeable about. So our students that enter a doctorate in psychology pick up a master's along the way. So the doctorate in psychology, one can argue, is not all taught at the doctoral level, right? Those first couple of years and you get an advanced standing master's degree along the way and then doctoral level courses. And so as provost conceiving of it, if it was a standalone master's, it would be in this 30 something units. It really is for the student who has a bachelor's degree. So they've done gen ed. If they have not done the required undergraduate bachelor's required courses, they're going to do those as prerequisites. And then there's the bachelor's level nursing courses for a pre-licensure program. And those are part of those 83 units as you also progress into master's level courses. And so I think that maybe it's almost saying the same thing, that course is taught at the level for licensure, and then these continuing courses continue to build and expand at a master's level. Sheree, would that be fair for nursing?
I would agree with that because entry to practice for a registered nurses is at the associate degree level, the baccalaureate level, and now the master's level. So there's three entry paths to sit for the RN licensure. So it does, you can have that scaffolding.
But in your example, though, you would see a program that had 500, 600, 700, 800, and 900 level classes that indicate that which courses are at the master's level content and the doctoral level content, right, based on the systematic numbering that institutions do.
And actually unfortunately not in my example, because the master's it's not a master's to a doctorate. It's a doctoral program, and you're technically in the doctoral program from the minute that you enter. So these are all doctoral courses. But there is this notion, again, that you achieve a master's along the way, and you achieve the pre-licensure. It is, you know, I will say, believing Cherie Looking and Anne, who is on the line, direct entry master's in nursing, looking at Crichton's. And it is an interesting question to see both, not just how they're built, right? But obviously our explanation hasn't been articulate enough, right? As to how you gain, the increasing levels across the program, because technically it's still pre-licensure, right? You're still needing, to gain that licensing. I appreciate the line, and I'm trying to think how we could do better in responding to that, and perhaps seek others in the field who have the direct entry masters in how they present.
Yep, that's a good idea. So if they don't have human anatomy and physiology and those prereqs, then they have to take those before starting your program.
They do, and they not
during it, right?
And they would take those with us. We offer it. They can obviously take it with a community college or take it elsewhere. But we're gonna ensure that we actually have all of those courses built and aligned really with where they're going, which is the nursing profession. And those will all be offered with us prior to the start of the program.
Yes. And Dr. Lutz, the pre-licensure and the direct entry masters are at the 500 level. So they are kept at, you know, when you're looking at the taxonomy and the level for it. So, you know, I think, you know, with three entries to the profession for registered nurses, associate degree, baccalaureate degree, and master's, that's how we have chosen with the numbering and the taxonomy level.
This will
not your BSN though.
No.
Okay.
Mr. Romano, Dr. Leck, and members of the board, just as so that we're kept on track here, the institution has not gone through the Board of Nursing yet. The Board of Nursing is the one that will review, identify, and provide guidance on the curriculum along with their accreditor. And this falls outside of the scope of our particular licensure. I understand it as an opportunity to learn, but we have to be very careful about providing guidance to another board, which would be the Arizona Board of Nursing, who does do the direct review of the curriculum and approves the curriculum and the content for the institution. So I just want to make sure that we're aware of that.
Yep, and that's what I said. I was curious, asking questions.
And all very helpful to hear and helpful for us in how we position those answers. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Do you have a rubric for your admissions essay? Is there a rubric, like when they write in the essay, is there a rubric that you use on that, or what are you looking for in the admissions essay?
We will be developing an admissions rubric, Dr. Lutch.
Oh, okay.
As a university, we do use rubrics for all of our admissions essays. And there are, you know, a number of different types of areas along with, how do I want to almost phrase, an alignment or a fitness for the profession, as well as things about the coherence of the essay. So that is a part of our standard practice, and that will be developed for the nursing schools.
Okay. Some catalog. I noticed that some of your page numbering, the numbering, like the bullets and stuff, an example would be 65 and 66. It'll go like 1, 2, and then it'll go to 11. So it was just seeing that document. Under your federal subsidized section, you actually list the current loan interest rates, and you say the rates are subject to change each July 1. For clarity, I thought you might want to add the fact that the government determines those rates at that point, not so that it doesn't appear you guys do, just for clarity to students. Throughout your catalog, you make statements like, so this specific title is going to make such a specific decision, it doesn't give the ability, if that person is out, for someone else to make the decision when you write it that specific. So we just always recommend that you put or designee. You have a religious holidays policy, and it's very generous. So no comment on that. My question was, based on the fact that didactic and lab sim can be is within the institution's control, but clinical is not. Is there a component where you would, if they were scheduled for clinical, how would you deal with the conflict between that policy and fulfilling clinical, which the spots are gold?
We would have makeup days scheduled for clinicals.
Oh, okay. All right. Because you take FA, one of the things I was reading in your grievance policy, it has some components, but it doesn't specify a Title IX coordinator. So it's just something that I just wanted to, you guys might want to take a look at that specific, those requirements as far as designating that.
And our compliance officer is on the phone as well or on the line, and I'm sure he is taking this down. Obviously, we have our Title IX coordinator, and I'm surprised that that wasn't clearly articulated. So we're going to go back and look at that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't.
It just may have been an oversight. We do have a Title IX coordinator as well as a deputy Title IX.
Great. Awesome. Okay, so that's actually all of the questions I have. It looks like, Susan, you have some questions?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Dr. Leck and Dr. Palmieri. I actually think that the board is going to, the nursing board will be happy to see that your entrance exams are 80% for HESI A2, which would come to Dr. Leck's point about, if you're doing a C average, that's not going to cut it for final NCLEX results, but because your HESI A2 is 80, that's a good start. And I noticed that for both your bachelor's and master's. I also think that they'll be okay with the clinical, since you said you're already part of the consortium or working with consortium.
I apologize, board members. This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. I just really want to make sure that we're not advising on what could happen at the Board of Nursing.
Sorry, I'll get to my question. My question about that is, I don't think they're going to say anything about the master's program. I think we at this board have to decide about the master's program, because I don't think that the State Board of Nursing regulates post-licensure programs.
It is actually pre-licensure, so it falls within their purview.
The master's is pre-licensure?
The direct entry master's is pre-licensure, mm-hmm. So it falls within their purview.
Okay.
Yep.
And Mr. Romano, Ms. Cardillo on the board, I have had conversations with Dr. Robbie over at the Arizona Board of Nursing, and so I do have some level of confidence that they're reviewing all of the program information, both at the bachelor and the master program. We do have similar programs in the state of Arizona that are entry into the program, basically the same design as this particular program. So I just want to make that point clear that our board has had contact with the Arizona Board of Nursing, and the information that the institution is providing you is accurate.
So
just for clarification, mine was merely on the structure of a curriculum of leveling. So that's what my that's always about. So not judging anybody. It's something that all post-secondary, do. So
yeah, likewise, I'm not trying to be the nursing board, that's for sure. But I did want to know about you've got your plan, but it doesn't show any staff yet, Dr. Palmieri, besides you. So do you have a plan to, you haven't had nursing instructors before, so do you have a plan to hire?
Yes, we do. And we have a budget to hire. So for fiscal year 2022, there's budgeted positions. The clinical coordinator position is a key position because of those clinical placements. So that's a key position. We will also be hiring, we'll probably be starting with some subject matter experts, and then we'll be adding positions. So we have positions budgeted for this year, and for starting in January, we have faculty positions budgeted, so that we have faculty input into the curriculum and policies, et cetera. Yes.
Okay. Is your model for full-time faculty or?
It is.
Yes.
Our model across our programs is that every program has a sufficient number of core faculty resources, and then we also do have adjunctive type of faculty as well. But we always have a core group of core faculty.
And we need to have expertise across all the specialty areas within nursing, so mental health, maternal child, PD, et cetera. So we'll be hiring to have that expertise across the continuum.
Thank you.
Are there any other board members with questions?
Hearing none, Dr. Luck, would you like to make a motion?
Sure. I would like to make a motion to approve the regular degree granting license while maintaining a $15,000 surety bond.
And this is Susan Cardullo. I'd like to second the motion.
Very good. Does the school agree with the stipulation of the surety bond?
We do.
Very good. Mr. Lamont, would you please take roll?
Dr. Mittman is absent. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Ms. Cardullo?
Aye.
Ms. Cardullo votes aye. By your vote of 5 ayes, 1 absent, the motion passes.
Thank you all for your time. It was lovely to get to be a part of your process for the first time. And whether allowable or not, we really appreciate the engagement and the advisement or the important conversations about higher education. So thank you all very much.
And I'd like to echo that as well. Thank you. We appreciate the insights that you share. Thank you.
Thank you as well.
Take care, everybody.
Have a wonderful
day.
Bye-bye. Thank you. All right, we will continue on in the agenda. And just verifying that I have not caused a problem with mine. I believe it is item number 9, the review, discussion, and possible action on the non-student complaint that was brought up from the Complaint Committee for Arizona Permanent Makeup Academy. So we'll move to that particular agenda item. I do want to remind that the board, upon a majority vote of quorum of members, may hold an executive session pursuant to ARS 38431.0384 for the purposes of discussion and consultation with the attorneys of the public body in order to consider its position and instruct its attorneys regarding the public body's position regarding contacts that are subject of negotiations and contemplated litigation or settlement discussions conducted in order to avoid or resolve litigation. So at this time, I would like to make a motion that the board go into executive session to have that discussion. Do I have a second?
Is that pursuant to A3 and A4?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And before we move, I'm going to move into, I've got everybody, I believe, set up to go into the breakout session, but I want to clarify that, Mr. Wallace, your phone number ends in a 1-2, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And
1-2.
And I believe, Dr. Leck is your, last 8-9.
Yes.
Okay. So I believe I have everyone scheduled to go in. So we had a motion. We had a second, correct?
I have not heard a second as of yet.
No second.
No second needed?
No second needed.
No, we need a second. We need a second.
Okay. Well, this isn't. I'll second it if you need a second. We need to vote then?
Yeah. Mr. Lamont, if you would take the vote.
Dr. Mittman. Dr. Mittman is absent. Dr. Leck.
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace. Mr. Wallace. Ms. Cardullo.
Aye.
Ms. Cardullo votes aye.
Wallace votes aye.
Okay, great. By your vote of five ayes, no, and one absent, we vote to go into executive session. I have everybody in the room, and I will send you the notice right now, and we will move over.
Yeah.